Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Starting off this segment on the West Her Hotline is WKBW reporter and anchor Madison Carter. Madison is also the president here of the Buffalo Association of Black Journalists and one of my favorite new local people. Madison, first and foremost, I really appreciate you making some time. It's Saturday afternoon, so I know you probably got some plans outside of just, you know, joining sports talk radio shows, but I really appreciate you making some time for us.
Listen, this is like a dream come true. Everybody who asked me what I wanted to do growing up, it was to be in like sports journalism. And so I called my dad. I was like, Dad, the sports guys are talking to me. I have made it. This is it. So thanks for having me on. No, I'm just drinking this afternoon.
Okay, that's good. That's good. So just a normal Saturday. Okay, good.
Normal Saturday.
Well, you know, I was going to say, I was going to call BS real hard if you were going to try to tell me, my dream was to become a sports talk radio personality. And then I was going to say, Madison, you aren't fooling a damn person. So I appreciate you, not tooting my horn too much on that.
I would do like a little radio, maybe a little podcast on the side. But, you know, everyone knows how I feel about people seeing my outfits. So I'd have to do a little something on the screen.
Yeah, you'd have to definitely do some kind of video cast for sure. For sure. Well, the reason I wanted to bring you on today, obviously, it's been a pretty remarkable week. 2020 has been a pretty remarkable year. I guess maybe remarkable isn't the best word to use, but I guess we're trying to stay positive in these times. So remarkable's semi-positive. We'll stick with it. I wanted to bring a sports perspective to this whole thing because I think right now, maybe more than my lifetime, I'm 28 years old, I'm not old, and I haven't really been around long enough to really get a feel of what the civil rights era was about in sports. But Madison, with everything going on, the sports, the feel of it, the look of it, the sound of it, fake fans, modified schedules, social distancing, like nothing is normal. Yeah. So why should we expect anything to be in the current times normal? But I would say the stage in professional sports that we have right now and the role they're playing on society and to try to really implant change across our entire country. Like, do pro athletes have more influence now than maybe they've ever had? And I know that's maybe a staggering thing to say, but with the platforms and everything else, maybe it's even more so the personalities in pro sports. Like, it feels right now more than ever, they have more of an influence outside of their respective sports than maybe ever before.
You know something, Nate? I don't think that athletes have more influence now than they ever have. I think it's that athletes understand the influence that they have. They've always had it. We all watched together in quarantine the Jordan documentary where he just kind of was like, hey, that's not my thing. We're going to be hands off. But he had the influence, right? Because people were asking him to come out, to make a statement. The thing is, and I grew up, so a little background on me for some of your listeners that might not know, I grew up in a family with professional athletes. My dad played pro football for about a decade, retired. Now he works for the Players Union. And then I got to see it all the way up. My brother, the whole high school, the recruiting process, him going to the leagues and then, you know, retiring. So I've seen the professional sports sphere shift. In my dad's generation, you went to work and you came home. In my brother's generation as a pro athlete, you have to do more. You have to be more. I think they're understanding their influence more, I think that they now realize like, oh, people are tuning in to see us. And it's like, there used to be this attitude of like, we're just happy to be here. And that attitude, I think, is completely gone. Athletes aren't just happy to be here. It's like, this is a job. This is work. We're entertaining you. And people really only want to see athletes in three places: sports, on a stage, or in a casket. I meant to say black people. They only see black people on sports, stage, or a casket. And we really have understood that. And now athletes are starting to say, no, I think you need to care more about what I care about if you want to see me do the things you want to see me do.
And I think too, Madison, to kind of build on your point, right? Like the thing to me now in sports is each of the major sports leagues have 30-something teams, right? Like baseball's got 30 teams. Mm-hmm. NHL is now going to have 32 teams. The NFL has 32 teams. The National Basketball Association has 30 teams. That is a lot of geography that each of those respective leagues cover. It's not like they're covering from sea to sea. And I think now more than ever with the access to social media, I guess my question then to build off what you're saying is what does then the role of social media play in these athletes' ability to actually go out and do something? Because to your point before, maybe it was an acknowledgement of or an understanding of what their role could potentially be. But in 1970, like, what's your options? Like, you have to sort of be dramatic in the way that you create, you know, traction. Like, now an athlete can do it right from their phone. And I do think that maybe the availability of that, you know, the ability to just do it right there on your phone, I think is probably also leading to a more wide and widely and loudly spoken group of players, no?
Yeah, absolutely. You can reach people all the way across the country, like you just said, with a few words, and they're listening and they're following. And honestly, I don't know, like, our generation, I don't know what you tell your parents about where to find news, but I'm like, Mom, if you want the most up-to-date, you got to go on Twitter because it's just, like, second by second, which can be good or bad. And I think so Twitter is that space where people can really get what's going on and learn and understand. Like, I know even me, I go online and just hearing people's thoughts, I'm like, oh, I didn't know that. Or like, that's a great way to explain this. And I'm just thinking about even that influence is trickling down. You see some of the LeBron saying, like, we need to support our people. We need to put money back into our community. And that trickles down to these five-star recruits now going to HBCUs. Before, it was all you knew was Alabama, which maybe football, or, you know, the big basketball school, Kentucky. And now you have this, I think it's McCore Maker. Do you remember this? He's a five-star recruit that committed to Howard over, like, all the big basketball schools.
Yes, this would have been this year, yeah.
Yeah. So it's so this kid is learning from all these influential athletes who are online being like, nope, you have control. You get to decide where people are looking. You get to decide where their money is. And now it's these young kids, they're like, oh, okay, I understand. And they're doing that. And it's all, I think you're right, social media. Because what else? How else can you hear from LeBron second by second? You can send him a message and get a response back. And he has influence, right? So it's very cool what we're seeing right now.
Madison Carter here on the Wester Hotline. If you don't know Madison, she is a reporter and anchor over WKBW Channel 7 here locally in Buffalo, and also the president of the Black Association, or the Buffalo Association of Black Journalists. Madison, I want to move directly into the NBA because I think their response, they were the first. Listen, I mean, Major League Baseball and the NBA both have a presence in Milwaukee, and I think each of those teams probably felt a duty to put Jacob, the shooting of Jacob Blake's, like in the sort of spotlight, right? Like, it was probably, they felt a personal community type feel that they needed to go out and be sort of the teams ahead of this. But as the NBA sort of picked up where the Bucks were trying to start, it's not only the players though, it's the coaches. And the support from ownership, to me, this is the first time a major pro sports league or a team has literally boycotted a game for social justice. Like, that to me is a step that I can't imagine maybe because of everything going on with 2020, we don't see that step taken, right? But because it was taken, what does that tell you about, you know, where these sports leagues are headed in this era? Because I think it's easy to say, well, hey, these players, they're doing their thing. That's incredible. But to have the support of coaches, to have the support of, by the way, almost every single NBA owner is white. Like, to have that support that we are potentially hurting our brand in order to push forward the greater good, like, that has to mean something to people in your community, no?
Listen, with what you said, they're saying we're hurting our brand by not getting behind this. And I tell people as a reporter all the time, you know, I'm an investigative reporter. I cover racism, corruption, political accountability. But on the racism aspect, to get the greater audience to care, because I think often when people you talk about race, even on this show, they're talking about race, we're going to tune out and come back when we're talking about something that affects us all. No, you have to go for the money. Yeah. I have to show people in the money why they care. And that is painful to me as a black person, because I'm like, dang, I have to go for your pockets to get you to understand that you're supporting this in one way or another. But I think that's what those owners are doing. They're like, ooh, our money is at stake. But also, let's talk about the NBA. Let's just talk about them specifically. They've always, you know, especially in the recent years, they've been, okay, I'll say in the recent years, they've been some of the front runners in terms of getting behind the social and racial justice movement. And in my perspective, I think it's because it's a smaller league. The teams are smaller. The NFL, you got 80 guys on a team, and they come in and out all the time. With the NBA, it's a smaller team. You develop those relationships, and I think you really understand, because you're spending time with these people, with their families, the issues that they care about, and they can talk to you one-on-one and say, this is why you need to care, too. The WNBA, nobody talks about.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
But they've always, I mean, these women have constantly been right out here talking about social justice issues, and now it's like, it's almost the same as like the black and white, how black people are saying like we need white people to be our allies to amplify our voices. The WNBA is now like, hey guys, over at the NBA, we need you to help amplify our voices. And they're answering that call. They're helping direct attention towards what the women have been doing for so much longer.
I think it's such a good point, Madison. I think that's such a good point because, you know, and I mentioned this earlier this week when I was on the morning show filling in this week, talking about Maya Moore. And like, the NBA is picking up where Maya Moore, I don't want to say left off, because she hasn't left the post. Like, she's still, and that, by the way, I just kind of realized I made a basketball pun there, and I didn't even mean to. But
it was good pun.
It was a good pun. But I think understanding the role that Maya Moore is playing. Maya Moore is, and you don't have to watch or even like the WNBA to look at what Maya Moore is doing and have just unbelievable levels of respect for her sacrifice. She's not a role player. She's not someone that, you know, is going to walk away from the sport and walk into a Fortune 500 company job where she's making the same amount of money she's making. Like, she made tremendous financial, personal sacrifices that a lot of us will never fully understand, being the face of the WNBA, walking away for social justice. I know we talk about the NBA because they're the ones with this large, millions, billions of people follow the NBA. But what Maya Moore did, I'm so glad that you brought that point up, because she does not get enough credit.
She doesn't get enough credit, and it's you're right. I think the NBA is definitely picking up, and they're following her lead. And that's what people aren't saying. The whole league is following the lead, and all these leagues, following this one Black woman's lead and saying, this is so much bigger than this sport. I get it. You're entertained. But our lives are at stake. Black lives are at stake. So if I have to leave this job and go do that, then that's what we're going to do. That's what all the NBA teams did. That's what they said. They're like, hey, we can't sit here and play a game while people are dying. It doesn't feel right. It doesn't even sound right when you say that. Do you know what I mean? So I think we're seeing all these leagues just understand what it's like when, and as a news anchor, I was up late last night just thinking about this after the Chadwick Boseman death and, you know, like colon cancer affects Black men so much. And I'm just like, it was a sad night for me because I'm like, Black men just are not allowed to be alive. And I get up there on the anchor desk and I tell you a story about a Black man being murdered on camera. And then I immediately go tell you a new story about how Dunkin' Donuts is bringing in a new milkshake. And I'm just like, this is not normal. It's not normal to see Black people continue to be killed and then just move on to the next thing, move on to play the next game or the next game or the next game. It shouldn't be that way.
Yeah,
you can't keep doing that.
It's sort of like the, you know, the 24-hour news cycle encapsulated, right? Like, mm-hmm. Hey, we're really angry about this today and we'll be angry about something tomorrow and excited about yep. something the next day. And it's very difficult. And I think that's maybe why the timing of all this maybe isn't, it couldn't be more important to, and I don't want to say the movement, because I think mm-hmm. by calling it the movement, we aren't necessarily shining the proper light on it. It's not a movement. It's, I don't know, maybe you can maybe you can explain this better for everyone, because it doesn't sound the way that I want it to sound coming from just being a white guy. But I think labeling it a movement just doesn't do the justice of what it actually is. It's a changing of what we've known as a society for our entire existence. Yeah. That's not a movement. That's something much larger than that.
Right, and I think it's different because I've done a bunch of comparison to the movement in the 60s and today, and everyone's saying, like, you know, we learned about this in school briefly, not enough as we should have, but and everyone's like, here's what I would have done. But it's different because in that time, Black people weren't in these prominent positions. Social media didn't exist. The influence wasn't necessarily there. So this, it's, you're right, maybe it's not a movement. I hope it's not just a moment, but I just hope that this space that we're in right now, it's getting people to shed those ideas that this doesn't affect you. What we're seeing out there, and I even talked about this when I was out there covering these protests, I was like, there aren't a lot of Black and brown people out here.
Yeah.
It's people who don't look like us coming out and saying, hey, man, we can do better and we have to do better. So honestly, what I think we're in right now is an educational shift. People are learning. I'm doing a lot of teaching, and there's a lot of understanding, but there's also, like, a long way to go, and we have to figure out how to make this understanding and this educational systemic, get it into the way that our society functions, and that's what I'm interested to see if that comes next.
You know, Madison, I don't know if you know this about me. I have a full-time job. I'm in sales, and one of the things, mm-hmm. I'm a sales manager, and one of the things that I tell my sales reps is a really good salesperson listens twice as much as they talk. And I think that the same application probably should be applied to a lot of people that look like me, is spend more time listening and less time talking, because frankly, we just aren't educated enough, and it's not because the information isn't available. It's mostly because there wasn't a willingness to hear, to listen. And now with, you know, and I think, what was it, Will Smith that said, you know, there hasn't been a lot that's changed. We just have video cameras now. And I think as important as it is that we are seeing this now, because I think that for the real change to happen, we need more, we need to see it more. We need to actually be able to feel it, see it, find the emotional attachment in a lot of these frankly horrifying videos of Black men being killed in the streets. And I think for you, like, your role in this, Madison, is really, really important. It's reporting the news, of course, but the emotional attachment that that I can't have, because it doesn't affect people that look like me as much, right? I think it's really important, your role, and I know this is really isn't a question, but it's more so of me just kind of thanking you, because I think you've done a really good job teaching, and I think more people need to be willing to listen, and I hope that throughout this process that we all learn listening is a really good and important thing on being better, because we can't be better without listening.
And I appreciate that, Nate, and I honestly do, because it gets exhausting and it gets tiring. And even, you know, I'm looking at some of the comments online, and it's like, I'm having Madison Carter on. You didn't say anything about who I am or what I do. And people are like, great, we're going to be lectured about race. And I'm like, what? What does that mean? Because online, it's like I'm telling these stories, and I'm just telling stories about people who look like me and sharing that experience. And even this just happened recently in our community here in Buffalo. A man was arrested. His name's Eric Martin at a Speedway. He was arrested, taken down in front of his family because a store clerk called and said he stole a lottery ticket that he bought. He was strip searched and taken to jail. And he's like, I'm innocent. And I really didn't want to tell that story, because I was like, this could have been our George Floyd. It's a $30 lottery ticket. And this man was just taken in. And I am constantly saying, in the sports angle, I wrote an essay a while ago, just talking about like why I really want to, when I introduce my dad, I feel this need to like tell people like, oh, he's an NFL player. Because I think when people see black men, they just see them as black men. They see them as threats. But athletes have always had this little bit of immunity, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I want people to know that, like, and even with that situation with Eric, at the news conference yesterday, they were trying to justify why he was a contributing member to society. He's a homeowner. He's 30 years old. He has a good job. And I'm like, why does that matter?
Yeah.
Why does that matter? But it's like when you tell people like, oh, he's an NFL player, all of a sudden their mind shifts. Or the NBA player, oh, their mind shifts. And I'm just like, there's so many black men that didn't have the opportunity to even say why they should be alive, you know? And it's just, it's a difficult time and space to be living in, I think, when you have to justify your existence to people.
Yeah. And listen, Madison, at the end of the day, I think the best things that all of us can do, again, is continue listening. But I'm happy to have given you a platform today to talk to people that maybe wouldn't have come across you otherwise. This is a diverse community here in Buffalo, and it's not always the most welcoming, but there are a lot of very, very, very good people in this community who care a lot about it and the well-being of everyone in the community. And I'm just happy that, you know, you're part of it. You're pushing forward the things that need to be pushed forward in this community. And I'm really, listen, I know you're not going to be here long, Madison. You're destined for bigger and better things. So while you're here, I know a lot of us are going to be looking on with being very proud to have you represent the community, and me as one of them. So thank you again, making some time for me on a Saturday afternoon. I know it's not the most fun on a Saturday afternoon spending time talking sports and everything else in life, but I do really, really, really appreciate it.
Listen, I had a blast, and I agree. Thank you so much for just giving me this platform and allowing me to reach a different audience and have a conversation with you. I think it's meaningful and it's impactful, and I appreciate you so much.
No, my pleasure, Madison. And again, I'm looking forward to your growth, not only in this market, but as you move on in your career, we will be watching very proudly over here.
All right, appreciate it. I'll see you soon, Nate.
Thanks. Madison Carter there, WKBW on the Wester Hotline.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.